Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise God. God is good. Amen. He's good. And this has to be a reality for us. Not just, sometimes we just learn to repeat things. You know, but He's good. Amen. And the more we say in it and the more we believe in it, you know, more real become to us. So God is good all the time with everyone. Amen. Praise God. Because He's not, you know, He's not evil in Him. So if He's not evil in Him, He cannot give us evil, right? There's no sickness in Him. So whatever comes from Him is good. Hallelujah. So He is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. So like I say, when Pastor Jay gave me an opportunity to receive the offering, the Lord is put on my heart to challenge you to believe for anything you need. Amen. And before I go further on this, I just want to thank Pastor Jay for the opportunity to stay here today and for the opportunity for all of us to be here. So they invited us. Or we say we want to go. So they allow us to come, and that's a blessing. And we thank Pastor Jay and his church for give us the opportunity to fellowship with you and have this great time, you know, with you and receive the word of God. That was powerful, what Pastor Jay was ministering. I believe there's no one here that, was not affected by that word. Because that's the truth. Every one of us come from different, you know, circumstance, places, and backgrounds, but we all have to deal with these things. So thanks God for His word, and thanks God for the people that He anointed to help us. Glory be to God, and we have to receive that, because it's what our answer is. There's, sometimes God sends us the answer, but we don't know, that's my answer. Yeah. And that sometimes we think it's just a man, just another person. When there's my answer, there's my deliverance. Yes. Yes. There's my healing. Amen. God sent, Jesus, when He sent the 12, and He give them authority over demons.
Yes.
And He told them to go and cast out demons, heal people, raise dead.
Amen.
Do you know? And He sent the disciples, and the people have to receive the disciples.
Yes.
If the people are going to receive, what they need, because the answer for their condition is on the disciples. Disciples have the answer because Jesus gave it to them for people.
Amen.
If they receive the people that Jesus sent, they receive the answer. So, hallelujah, praise God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, glory be to God. The Lord put it on my heart to challenge you to believe for whatever you need. And really what Pastor talked, yesterday before he started ministry, about somebody need help. And this is, an important time for his life. That's true. I perceived that signs when the first day.
Yes.
Some people need, real help.
Yes.
And it's there.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
But we need to believe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sometimes, that's why we need help, because sometimes we try to change things, on our own effort. Or sometimes on our own way to understand things. But if it's not making any change, any difference, you need to pay attention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And a long time ago, the Lord helped me to understand, sometimes we need things to change in our lives in different areas.
Yes.
But the point to start is believe.
Yes, sir.
We have to believe, it's possible, because that's what, that's what Jesus teaches. Yes, there's nothing impossible for God.
Right.
And everything is possible for the one to believe.
Yes, sir.
So, that change or the possibility, you know, that change starts on the believing. You have to decide to believe it's possible, you know, to receive the help that you need. You need to start there. Because sometimes, I talk with, as a pastor, we talk with a lot of people. And you know, with men, a lot of times, you know, they sometimes experience, they try to change things, but they, you know, they just keep, you know, fail and fail. And on the end, they come and they, and, you know, sometimes they come and say, I don't want to fail God anymore.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, do this or try to do that because I'm going to fail again. Right. And I don't want to fail God anymore.
Right.
But, you know, we got to start on the believing part.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sometimes we try to start on the doing part.
Yeah.
But we got to start on the believing, you know, and settle our hearts in there first. Before we try to go and do anything, you know, and that's the other part that I want to, you know, is putting on your heart what, you know, we have been receiving help from the Lord in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, on that part is, you know, the communion in our relation with the Father. That's what really got been, working on my life for all this year, since January. You know, he started speaking to my life,
right,
you know, about, you know, spend more time with him, spend more time with his word, spend more time on, you know, praying. So, you know, since the year started, you know, it just gave me direction what to do. You know, probably what he told me to do is not what he's going to tell you to do because we all, you know, different.
Yes.
You know, maybe you don't need to do what I need to do.
Right, right, yes, sir.
But, you know, but he tell you what to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want to talk with you a little bit about, you know, our relation with the Father.
Yes.
Our communion with the Father.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jesus have communion with the Father. The people have religion. That's why they got a hard time to understand him. Because he was talking about the Father and people and even leaders, religious leaders, is talking about God.
Yes.
You know, they're talking about, you know, about what the law say and... Yes. Okay, yeah, sure. You want me to turn this off?
Yeah.
It used both. So Jesus, you know, Jesus have relation. Jesus had communion with God. Jesus say, I didn't do anything. I only do what I heard my Father, you know, say, and I only do what I see my Father say. Well, Jesus have, you know, relation and communion with the Father. You know, he has relation and communion with you know, with the Word. I hear preachers say, you know, Jesus had to find on the Word, you know, where on the places where that we're talking about him, which everywhere. You know, but the specific places, you know, when he's talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's talking about, you know, God has anointing him.
Yes,
you know, he find, you know, certain scripture on his Isaiah, and he read that scripture. And he, you know, he says, this is the day when the scripture becomes, you know. So he has to find, you know, so he has communion with the writing word.
Right, yes, sir.
He has communion. That's why even leaders, you know, back in that time, they didn't understand him when he was talking about, you know, him and the Father and his mission and who he is. You know, remember Nicodemus?
Yes, sir.
He received Jesus only as a teacher. We know you have come from God as a teacher. Because that's you know, because he said, because we see or we saw the works that you do. But he didn't have revelation of Jesus in the Word. That's why when Jesus started spoke to him about born again,
He said, "What are you talking about?" And Jesus said, "You are a teacher of, you know, you are a teacher and you don't know about these things." Because, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, the Word of God talking about God changing our hearts, putting a new spirit in us.
Yes,
and, you know, Nicodemus was not related with that. So when Jesus talked about that, he didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus said, "You're a teacher. You're supposed to know."
Yes.
You know, the problem, you know, is that people, you know, Jesus was talking to people about him, about what the Word of God say about him. And people, and Jesus, you know, rebuked them because they have the Word, but they don't know the Word. They don't have, you know, they don't have relation and communion with the writing Word. They have religion. But they don't have a true communion with the writing Word, and you know, and is where the wisdom is. So the Word of God says that Jesus, you know, grow in wisdom. Right? In Luke.
Yes.
He said Jesus grow in wisdom, and he grow, you know, in stature, you know, and he grow in grace. But how he grow in wisdom? How he grow in wisdom? You know, he learned what the world talking about him. That's our wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is, you know, the wisdom of God. So Jesus is my wisdom. Jesus is your wisdom. So we got to learn, you know, or grow in wisdom. We got to, you know, grow what the Word of God say about, you know, us in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, the Word of God say that Jesus grows, you know, in wisdom twice in Luke, I think chapter 2. He grow, you know, so he has to learn. He has to learn. Amen.
Amen.
When he was 12, he already know who his father is. And that's the very first thing that devil challenged him when he was tempted. Right? That's what Satan said. If you are the Son of God, that's the first thing. Jesus always, you know, Satan and people always challenge Jesus because Jesus, you know, about his identity. Even people wants to kill him because he say, you know, God was his father. And people say, how you know, you try to become like God because you say God is your father. Well, the Word of God say we are his sons. So God is our father. We're in the same position. You know, but what I want you to see here is that, you know, Satan is the first thing that challenged Jesus about his identity. If you are the Son of God, our freedom is in our identity in Christ. Amen. And we got to find who we are in Christ. And, you know, we're going to face challenge. Satan is going to challenge us, like Pastor said yesterday. You know, when we fail, the first thing he's going to say, "See, that's who you are. You are not a Christian. You are not born again. You are just all sinner. You are just, you know, a fail." And you know, he's going to challenge right away. He's going to challenge who we are in Christ. Yes, people challenge Jesus about who, you know, when he talk about who he is. So, you know, we find, you know, we grow in this wisdom when we, you know, when we find in the scriptures who we are in Christ. But we're going to face challenge, you know, because the gospel is progressive. We not, you know, I read this, you know, in Ephesians, you know, God bless me with all blessings in spiritual places. And probably that blessed me on the month, but I'm going to grow an understanding on that scripture. And the Holy Spirit is going to keep, bringing enlightenment and understanding on that. And that's, you know, that's progress, you know, progressively. In glory to God, glory be to God in our lives. But we got to stay on it. And, you know, the first thing that last year I shared with you a little bit about my own life. And from where God, you know, brought me. And, you know, I really need help. You know, sometimes, you know, doesn't matter. That's what I tell you, you know. I mean, not even my family think that was a solution for my life. So you can imagine, you know. And not even my family, my own family told my wife, you got to leave this man. This it's done. It's just like, thanks God for my wife. She was faithful. She said, no, I'm going to stay with him. Even we're not Christians, you know, but she just make her own mind to just not go in our direction. But, you know, when I become, God changed my life, I born again, and I started, you know, walking on the light that I have, that I receive. But the big challenge is when I start learning about who I am in Christ. When this revelation comes into my life. Because, you know, basically, my pastors, my brothers, the ones they say they love me, the ones they say, oh, the Hernandez family is a beautiful family, faithful family, always serving. We love them so much. You know, but when this revelation came into my life and I start wanting to walk in on it, the first, you know, resistance that I experienced in my own church. Yeah, in my own church. Because they didn't accept this revelation. And then, you know, like yesterday, Brother Andre shared a little bit about, you know, where he was come from too, you know, if I know these things before, but they helped me, but they helped me only on a certain measure because they don't have it. You know, and they try to help us, but on the wrong way. They make some kind of, you know, deliverance services. And they bring some ministries, and they try to, you know, help us, but on their own effort and on their own wisdom. They take us, they call in to the room, and they really take you to a room. That's where the challenge start on my life and on my family, when they want to take us there. Because everybody has to go through that. Because everybody has to be delivered from something. They got to take, out something from you. So they call in, you know, they go through your soul, and they call in rooms from your soul, which is like different areas. And they talk to you about that area. You know, and they take you, if you don't know, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you, you know, where you fail and things like that. And to know the purpose was to deliver you from that. So when they come to us, I say, no, we're not going. We are free. Because I was standing on the word of God. That does not mean I have no problems. Does not mean I didn't facing things. Actually, you know, I was hungry for help. I was, you know, my wife and I, we were fasting and praying and seeking God because we want, you know, grow and change in our lives. We know God has a better thing for us, but we don't know how to get on it. And they say, no, we're not going. I say, why not? I say, because this is what Colossians 1:13 say. That I have been delivered.
Yes, sir. Amen.
From the kingdom of darkness.
Yes.
Have been translated to the kingdom of his dear Jesus. You know, to the kingdom of Jesus, of God.
Yes, sir.
And they say, well, if you not go, you're done in here. So basically they push me out. Just because I stay on the word of God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
because I don't want, you know, to go through those. But every person that go through those, you know, process, they never receive any help. But I stay on this word. And now, you know, the resistance, the challenges start there in my own church. You know, I love my pastors. And you know, even into this time, we think about these pastors, my wife and I, my wife, she always say, oh, I love my pastors. We love these pastors. We love the show. We love our brothers. You know, but they, you know, they push us back. Because we then, you know, we didn't want to go on their own way to help people. You know, so we stay on you know, on this revelation of who, because by that time I start reading the books of Reverend Kenny Hagin. The first book that God put in my hands was In Him. You know, the small hymn book? Yeah, I was praying and fasting because I need help. See, God is so good. He's so, you know, so faithful. So I was praying and fasting. I don't know, you know, how he's going to help me. But I know I need help. I know I want to grow. I want to change. So it's you, somebody, to put that book on my hands. So when I read, I say, praise God, this is something different. I never, you know, but as I go to online and I find all the books of Reverend Kenny Hagin, audio tapes, and I order little by little, you know, and I started studying it. So I become the black sheep on the church. The rebellions. The one the devil using. Oh my God, I feel so bad, brother. But I didn't quit going to that church. Because one of the first things that I learned is walking in love. So even when they hit me, I love them. They didn't want to talk to me. I go and check their hands. I was just start walking in that light. So what I want to tell you, you know, Jesus faced resistance on the revelation of who he was. Right? He say, he preached, you know, God is his father. And that's the first thing that Satan resists. Prove me you are the son of God. Amen. People don't want to accept that in Jesus. You're not the son of God. You are the son of this man and this woman, and we know your brothers, we know your sisters. Don't come to be with these things. You have a demon on you. That's not what we're talking about. See, they were criticizing Jesus. Amen. So he faced that resistance. But he stayed on, you know, on what the word of God say. So we have to stay on that too. You know, we, glory be to God, we've been receiving, you know, the word that Pastor Jay, you know, was ministering these days. And glory be to God. And we got to stay on this revelation. Doesn't matter where we are right now. Because I tell you where I was. You know, back in that time, I was going to church. I was serving, very faithful. You don't find me in my house. Even my friend said, hey, you say you live there. But we're going to try to, you know, visit you or something, but we never find you. I told them, hey, it's where I sleep. If you want to find me, you go to that church. Because basically, you know, I and my family, we basically, you know, going almost every day to church. We didn't wait for a pastor to tell us what to do. We go in and ask him. Amen. And to the point that he has to tell us, please leave. I'm not kidding. Yeah, he told us, please leave. Brother Hernandez, please leave. Go. Go to your house. Because we love us. We love to serve. But that's one side. You know, we need that revelation and understanding of who we are. So we can live, you know, in victory. So we can live free. Hallelujah. and this is not a, you know, this is not a, some, you know, Hollywood, you know, movie or story that we can live free. No, this is a true. Yeah. This is possible. You know, and on our, I don't know on the Anglo cultural, but on the Spanish, on the Christian community, you know, Hispanic Christian community, they preach so much sin, they glorify so much sin, they put on a position that nobody is able to live free from sin. That's how it is. I don't know, you know. On this other side, but on Spanish Christianity, could, most of the time you hear that. Oh, we all sin. Nobody is perfect, but they saying that from the point, you know, to justify your condition. And we don't want to justify our condition. We don't want to justify, you know, sin in our lives. That's dangerous. Because we're never going to live, you know, we're never going to find the exit thinking like that, talking like that. We're not going to find the exit. We have to believe what the Word of God say. The Word of God say, you know, we have been redeemed. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And that's the only holy truth. And if we stay in that truth, doesn't matter where we are. Eventually, we're going to come over to the other side. This lie, do you know, this truth is going to, hallelujah, is going to break anything they try to hold us back. This lie, darkness cannot prevail over light. And this light will eventually prevail over any darkness, you know, to try to keep us back. Or try to, you know, holding us, you know, like Pastor Jay say, you know, like a boo. You know, this life will, you know, will overcome any darkness on our lives. If we persist on it, if we stay on it, but we still got to do something. You know, even if I didn't know, but I just following. I didn't know all the, you know, who I am in Christ. I didn't know how the revelation, you know. But I still do what, you know, God, you know, was working on my heart, on what I can understand on that moment. So I was fasting and, you know, passing more time on reading on the Word of God, trying to seek His answers. You know, I perceived that on my spirit, so that, you know, I know how to do that, so that God works on that on my life. So, glory be to God, we got to do something. You know, like you got to do something. And most, I realize this is my personal opinion, you don't have to take it. You know, but I realize this. You know, the big problem in our lives is that we don't spend time with Him. Like, who said that, brother, Reverend Brian, that's his name. That's the name, brother. He said, you know, I'd spend time with God before I go out. And when I, you know, when I go out, it's not about me. You know, and that's what, you know, Jesus do. He spent time with God, with the Father. And when He goes out, it's about somebody else. Yeah. Right. Amen. So I believe, you know, if we enrich more our communion with the Father and our communion with His Word, and we take time before, you know, before we going out, Reverend Kenny Hagin say, when we spend time on God's presence, you know, and then we go out, the essence of his presence go with us. And I can tell you for sure that makes a lot of easy. Every one of us in here can testify and can say that when we don't take time to fellowship with God and fellowship with his word, even our relations, married relations, family relations, social relations becomes harder, and we get into the flesh more easy. That's true. That's the holy truth. You know, so really, you know, God was working on my life, you know, in the beginning of the year to spend more time with him. And to spend more time with him, he even led me to make some changes on my habits. You know, I was the kind of person that I didn't like to go to sleep early. Really, I have to force my body. Sometimes, into, you know, all your energy is over, and it's like, I cannot handle it anymore. But I didn't like to go to sleep early. But, you know, during this year, you know, that was God working on my own life. You know, you just, in your fellowship with God, God going to speak into your life. But I'm speaking, you know, from this experience. And it led me, you know, to change it. So I got to change my habit, you know, from the time to go to sleep, you know, and now I go to sleep early, and I wake up, you know, very early. And God was working on me so graciously that I even, you know, on the beginning of first 2-3 months, you know, I sleep 3-4 hours, but you know, I wake up, the Holy Spirit wake me up like 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. That never happened before. Or probably I didn't listen before. That, I know none of you, you know, happened that. But I experienced this, and I learned this through the years. When we do what God tells us to do, there's a grace so precious. The work in you. So when I wake up, you know, my body was so refreshed. My mind was so clear. I wake up, you know, and I go, you know, and read or pray in the Spirit. And I realized, you know, after 6 months, I can say almost 6 months, I say, I need more time. Because, you know, if I wake up at, you know, at 3, at 4, and I spent 3, 4, sometimes 5 hours with, you know, in God's presence. And I say, this is very short time. I think I need more time on his presence because I got to take care of more things on the Spirit, you know, or pray, or I need, you know, you realize, you know, every time that you need more time. And his presence, but it has been a great blessing into my life. And I've been, you know, reading and studying. God lead me, and I during this year, in the book of John. And he lead me to read and study about the relation of Jesus and the Father. That's why, you know, the woman on the well, she was already have 5 husbands. And Jesus came to satisfy what she really needs. Jesus spoke to her, and he said, I can give you a water if you ask him. I can give you a water, and you're not going to be thirsty anymore. This water is going to satisfy your life so much, so deep. See, can you see that point in our own lives? Sometimes we get into things because we try to satisfy, you know, with natural things, when the need really is spiritual in our lives, because we have not been taking our time you know, to feed the inner man. Jesus said, the Father has life in him. You know, and glory be to God, and, you know, in his relation, you know, that life flowing in. He become, you know, that life become part of, you know, his life. He was, that was his life. So too many times that's, you know, too many times that's a reality in our lives, because we try to satisfy, you know, a spiritual need with the outside things. And glory be to God, when, you know, when we spend time on his presence and his word, you know, his word is, Jesus said, he is the bread of life. You know, his word is the food for our spirits. You follow me?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. So I think it's going to help us a lot if we, you know, I'm not saying you're not spending time with God, but pray about it. You know, maybe he leads you to enrich some areas of your life according to, you know, to the need of every one of us. You know, Reverend Kenny Hagin say, when we pray, you know, mash on the spirit, you mortify the works of the flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you see yourself, you know, praying on the spirit? I mean, we can pray during the day, anytime. You know, but if you didn't start somewhere in your own life, you're not going to pray the rest of the day. Probably you pray something like, you know, and they forgot about that the rest of the day. You know, but Jesus said he is the bread of life.
Yes.
So there's a need in our lives. That's a spiritual need. You know, we have to be, you know, drinking from that water of life every day. And we need to be eating from that bread of life every day. And we need to, you know, learn every time more to be tuned with the Father. And being tuned with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is that, you know, communicate. You know, it's representing God and Jesus and is in us. You know, but glory be to God, I just feel on my heart to put this, you know, to let this on your life about your communion and your relation with God. That's really going to help you to change a lot of things. You know, to help you, you know, to deal with things that maybe you identified during these days about, you know, Reverend Pastor Jay, what ministry. And, you know, the Holy Spirit may lead you to do something, you know, to change something, to, you know, like on the testimonies that we heard last night. And, you know, answers and questions with Pastor Jay. You know, the Word of God says, don't provide for the flesh. So sometimes we are feeding too much the flesh. We're providing so much, too much for the flesh. So probably, you know, the Lord is going to lead you, you know, to put some things on side. Not spend so much time on TV. You know, or like Pastor Jay say, you know, I love sports and I don't have nothing against sports, but maybe there's sometimes when God's going to lead you, you know, like I remember, you know, I used to like football so much. But, you know, the Holy Spirit dealt on my life, and that's over for me. There's no more time for that. For me. Maybe for others. No, but not for me. And you know, after that, I just lost, you know, the pleasure of that. I have no more attention of that. I have no more pleasure in that. Before, I enjoyed it, and but I didn't have, you know, that anymore in my life. So, you know, the grace of God help us, you know, to put us out from certain things that maybe we don't know that, but they are affecting our spiritual lives. So let the Holy Spirit speak to your life. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, minister to your life. Like Reverend Kenny Copeland say, you know, God, you know, deal with him about coffee. Say he got, he carry his coffee maker everywhere he go. Right. And now he see that, he said that was ugly. Mm. Probably that was not, you didn't see that like a sin, you know. You know, but you know that probably that was affecting his life somehow. Oh, God don't want us to be bound into anything. And Reverend Kenny Hagin also talk about he's drinking, I think, soda. And he, I'm not going to drink soda anymore from this day on. And he say, that's over. Because I don't want to be bound into anything. Yeah. Amen. So when God spoke, I'm going to finish with this. When, if God speak to you about certain things on your life, trust him. Trust him and act on it, even if it looks hard for your flesh. Because I can show you this truth, and I have, you know, this own personal experience. When I act on what he told me, it's so easy. It's so easy. You know, some people say, oh, I think it's hard to stop drinking coffee. You know, like 4 years ago, God spoke to me. I was driving from California back from conference, and he spoke to me. He said, I want you to stop drinking coffee. He didn't tell me stop drinking coffee forever. You know, but he said, I want you to stop drinking coffee. And I say, okay, Lord, for this moment, I stop drinking coffee. But it was, you know, a grace when he spoke to me. That I'll be honest with you. I am speaking to you before him. That was, you know, such a grace that in that moment, you know, I just perceived in me. I didn't have no need of that anymore. And you know, I didn't, you know, I know when he delivered me from when I got saved. I was addicted for years on drugs, for years on alcohol, for years. I started, you know, smoking marijuana. I was not even 11 years old, I think. And I got saved until I was 30. So all these years, you know, doing all this, I was addicted. My body was addicted. But when I got saved, I got delivered from that. Amen. I know that. So I, you know, I know when he spoke to me about coffee, I know that came over me. I said, that's it with this. That's it. But I, you know, I tell you before I'm done, I tell you what, the other side. When I didn't listen to him, and then I tried to do it later, and I tried to do it on my own, it won't work. It won't work. It's hard. That's why we got to learn to respond to him when he was, you know, when he's talking to you about certain things on your personal life. You know, there's the grace to do that. There's grace to do that. That's, you know, like Pastor Jay said, you know, if we're going to live free from this, it's not going to be on our own effort, on a natural way. We're going to require, you know, we God, you know, that supernatural is available for us. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The supernatural is available for us. And we can overcome anything. Anything. With what God has, you know, make, you know, available for you and for me. But we have to believe. You have to believe. You have to be humble. You have to be like a kid. Just start there and say, Father, this is where I am. This is my condition, my position. Whatever it is. But I'm going to do one thing. I'm not going to focus, you know, on the do's. I'm just going to establish, hallelujah. That's a good place to start. What's your name, my brother? Hallelujah. Yeah. Josh. That's a good place to start, brother. Hallelujah. Just establish your heart in there. And yes, you know, they say, Lord, I just want to believe. I'm just going to believe. Everything is possible. Everything is possible. Everything is possible. Hallelujah. Establish your heart in there. It's possible. It's possible, Lord. It's possible to live free. In Jesus' name. It's possible to renew my mind. It's possible to think different. It's possible, you know, like you see, you know, people enjoying those truths. And sometimes we see those things so far from us. Yeah, I tell you the truth. I mean, I know where I start. And after that, I start listening, you know, Rabbi Kenny Hagin, other ministries. And I start going to Rema, Men's of Honor. We went over there like for 3 years, Pastor Jay. And testimonies. And you see that change in the glory on other people. I don't know if you realize that, but you see that change. You see that holiness in other people. You see that. And then you on the other side, you're still not crossing that. You're not there yet. You know, but if you establish your heart, Father, this is where I am. This is my, the circumstance that I face or whatever. But I'm just going to do one thing. I'm going to believe. Yes. I'm going to believe is, you know, possible for this to change or for this to be removed or think, you know, that think like Pastor Jay was teaching, renewing our mind, thinking like seeing myself, have the picture of myself that the Word of God showed me. I think it's possible. Maybe I got the wrong image, but I got the wrong, you know, identity. But I believe it's possible to get into this, Father, in Jesus' name. And things are going to start changing in your life. You know, certainly you're going to start, you know, having illumination. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Even, you know, during the time when Pastor was ministry, not only here, but even on the church, you know, sitting there, you know, that anointing, you know, you establish your heart and that anointing is going to come and break that. And then you're going to perceive the difference. Oh, this is difference. I mean, because the Spirit make it real to you. We didn't walk like never, you know. This is the great thing about the gospel. We're not walking in just one story. We're walking on that living experience. Yes. Living experience. Yes. That you're going to say, ooh, praise God. I know he was talking about. It's different. I can perceive freedom on my life. I know, you know, when I got freedom on my mind, I know it. I know when I got freedom on my body. I know when I born again. No, the Holy Spirit make it real to us because the gospel is real. Yes. You know, the word like is, you know, it's alive. Yes. Yeah. And if it's alive, you know, it make it real. Everything becomes real. And like God's become real. Yeah. Jesus become real. Yeah. The word of God become real. Yes. Woo, the Holy Spirit become real. Yes. You know, the revelation become real. Yes. And then you begin, you know, you start like, whoo, whoo, hallelujah, praise God. Whoo, this is so good. This is so good. And you're just going to say, oh, Father, I love you. I love you, Father. This is so good. You know, every time, you know, because that's what I love. You know, God make himself real to us. Yes. We perceive his presence. I mean, we're not walking by feelings, but we feel his presence too. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.